Hello, and welcome to the Angelist India Radio. Through these conversations, we're taking you inside the minds of great investors, experienced founders, and talented experts. Angelist India pioneered new concepts in startup fundraising and investing for India. You can find out more about us on angel.co/India. Let's dive in.
Hey guys, I'm very excited to have Arjun today. He's with World Invest now, and he recently sold his company, Dr. Vaidya's, to RPG Goenka Group. And I have a lot of interesting questions for him on how he's sold one of the most successful D2C stories of the recent era, and how he scaled up his old family traditional recipes and functionalities into this whole new sort of world of where online commerce is taking over. So I have a lot of interesting questions for him. And then we'll also touch upon what he's doing next and doubling down on his passion with World Invest. Before that, let's welcome Arjun. Arjun, welcome.
What's up? Thank you so much for having me. It's a pleasure and an honor to be on this Angelist Radio podcast.
No, it's been great to have you on the platform, and thank you for supporting us in different ways. But why don't you introduce yourself? Like, I think when we discussed recently, I really enjoyed hearing your story where you've gone from private equity to starting up a D2C brand to now investing in other consumer brands as well. So why don't you give our listeners the story?
Sure. So look, Utsav, Vaidya, my last name means Ayurvedic doctor. I come from a legacy of 150 years of Ayurveda in my family. My grandfather, great-grandfather, and generations before, all Ayurvedic doctors. The legacy of our business, Dr. Vaidya's, unlike what most people think, was not a business. So my great-grandfather moved from Gujarat to Bombay, set up a small Ayurvedic clinic. My granddad graduated from medical school and took on his father's practice. He scaled it significantly. So he became one of India's most successful Ayurvedic doctors, had 300 patients coming on a daily basis to his clinic, had 12,000 patients on a monthly basis writing to him via post, which was the e-commerce of the 70s and 80s. Mm-hmm. But he didn't really care for sales, distribution, marketing, or strategy. He didn't want to build a brand. My dad and him tried to work together. My dad is not a doctor. He's a business guy. But doctors and businessmen don't see eye to eye. And eventually, my dad went his own way and runs a successful jewelry and watch business for the last 35 years. But you know, for me, I grew up with asthma. I suffered from juvenile bronchitis from age 2. I grew up with pumps, nebulizers, inhalers, steroids, and I couldn't play cricket growing up as a kid. Like, for me, I love cricket. I'm really passionate about cricket, but I couldn't play cricket as a kid. And asthma prevented me from doing that because there was too much dust on the cricket field. So I always grew up saying this asthma is not allowing me to have a normal life. I had not tried Coca-Cola or Fanta or Limca or Sprite till I was 12 years old. I had my first ice cream, melted vanilla ice cream from Baskin Robbins when I was 13. So asthma was preventing me from a normal life, according to me. And Ayurveda cured me of asthma by age 15, 15 and a half. And I became cricket captain of my school team at age 16. Not that it was a great team or that I was the best player. Just I was the most regular dude to practice. And so they said, you'll be a good captain. But I think I had a personal tryst with Ayurveda and a personal journey with Ayurveda as well. So I made a promise to my granddad, I'd do something with a legacy. I went to college in the US in 2009. And I saw a move towards natural organic products. I saw yoga being repackaged. Yoga mats, yoga gyms, yoga apparel, Lululemon. And I thought, like, this is Indian. And it's been taken to the world without Indians having much to do with it. So we can't let the same happen with Ayurveda. So I came back to India in 2013 and got a job at a private equity fund called L Capital, now called L Carotin, one of the larger consumer sector investors. And there I spent time and I saw some changes happen. I saw India moved from being obsessed with imported brands to being happy to consume quintessentially Indian brands. E-commerce was just starting. In 2013-14, I got to spend time on companies like Myntra, Pepperfry, Jabong, Bluestone, Zivame, and just saw this e-commerce behavior come to India. And Ayurveda was undergoing a renaissance, right? So hundreds of thousands of customers like you itself started being interested in consuming Ayurvedic products, which wasn't the case. And in all of this macro, unfortunately, from a micro standpoint, my dada passed, my grandfather passed. And so we had this rich legacy, these formulations, and that promise I had made him. And so, yeah, 2016, mid, I quit my job and launched this company called Dr. Vaidya's in end of 2016, named it after my grandfather. And I said, I want to take Ayurvedic products and make them appealing and accessible to modern consumers. So that was the premise and the story behind why I started my company.
Amazing. No, I think that's something. And I mean, so tell us about the journey starting up a D2C brand in India, and especially in a tough category like Ayurveda, where, I mean, you have to go through educating and building a brand online as well, because most of the consumption for Ayurveda probably happens offline and it's considered not sexy in the traditional, in the regular sort of online D2C space. So how did you go about that?
So look, I think first thing, Utsav, there was no D2C in India in 2017, right? So look, my journey started in 2016, October. That time, even thinking about an online D2C brand was not even like a conversation, right? So we started offline, like most FMCG brands started in October 2016. Had a big launch event at Taj Lands End Hotel, had a bunch of people come. Six distributors agreed to stock our product. We launched two products. One was a hangover product called Live It Up, and the other is a Chyawanprash in capsule, multivitamized version of Chyawanprash called HerboFit. Unique products, people were really excited. Six distributors signed on. I did 10 lakh rupees worth of sales in Jan 2017, got those orders, and was really excited. And the private equity analyst in me was like, okay, 10 lakhs, 20 lakhs, 50 lakhs, 1 crore, 5 crores, like I'm on. Like this is set and I'm going to make something big happen here. Unfortunately, you know, what I didn't realize was primary sales is very different from actually selling out to a customer. And so I sold to a distributor. The distributor would have to sell to the retailer. The retailer will have to sell to the end customer. And only once I've sold to the end customer will I get paid. And so by the time 3 months happened, nobody cared for buying my product. I got 9 lakhs worth of this 10 lakhs back. And pretty much it was the biggest failure in my life, right? And I got an opportunity to reflect. And at the time that I was reflecting, I thought like, there's something wrong here, right? Things are not working out. And when I reflected, I realized that I don't have a brand. I don't know offline. And there is no reason for me to win right now, with the competition of Dabur, Emami, Patanjali, Baidyanath, Himalaya all existing in offline, right? Mm-hmm. So I have to do something differently. And my wife, who was my girlfriend at the time, she was the founding team at Nykaa and then moved on to Impact Investing. And she said, look, this e-commerce thing is happening. You've seen it. I've seen it at Nykaa. You've got to do online. No one's doing it, right? And so I convinced her to join the business. July 2017, she came on board after we got engaged. And we set off on this D2C journey in November 2017. But you know, people thought we were crazy doing a D2C brand, right? Like actually, like large investors who have invested large amounts of money in D2C now told us at that time, this online thing to create a brand doesn't exist, right? It's not possible. And we set on this journey in November 2017 with one order every 3 days on our website. And we said, look, this makes sense, right? Like, outside the top 10 cities, people don't have access to Ayurvedic products with the touch of their fingertips with high quality Ayurvedic care. My grandfather offered a free consultation in his clinic. Let's offer this same thing to customers with the touch of their fingertips, right? Like, why can't they get this? And for the first year, November 2017 to November 2018, we learned online. It wasn't so competitive, and so we had time, right? Today, you don't have time, but at that time, we learned Facebook, Google, Instagram, website, tech, supply chain, ops, logistics, warehousing, customer service, all of that. And in 1 year, for me, we achieved tremendous success, right? But today it's not relevant. But at that time, we went from one order every 3 days to 50 orders a day on a single branded Ayurvedic products platform. And that's when we realized, hey, there is something here, right? It's not just a pie in the sky that we are believing is a business. It's really something scalable, because 50 orders a day on an Ayurvedic products website, that's big. And from there, Utsav, we had a great run. We hyperscaled the business. We grew 100x in the next 2 years, scaled from 50 to 5,000 orders a day on our website. We launched 80 products, 2 million plus transacting customers across 16,500 pin codes in India. And raised a Series A from RP Sanjeev Goenka Group. And really sort of built India's largest Ayurveda brand online, but also brought Ayurveda online. And that was the sort of success that we had after pivoting to D2C.
Impressive. And so, I mean, now, I mean, things have changed, right? There's, I mean, dedicated funds which are investing in online brands. There are Thrasios of India, which are acquiring online brands. And it's become increasingly competitive to advertise and differentiate on social media as well these days. So somebody who's thinking about starting up a direct-to-consumer brand, what's your a few takeaways from your journey or things that you're seeing now would be for them?
So look, I think, Utsav, I was at a conference today on D2C, right? And I said two things. One is there is no better time to be a D2C founder than now, right? Why do I say that? One, when I was running my business, you had to convince the customer to come online. And then if they came online, to convince them to buy from you. Today, that customer is already online, right? So half the battle is won. Fine, it's much more competitive than many more brands, but the customer is already online and okay to buy online and okay to buy from a single brand website, right? My dad had never placed an order online until the lockdown last year. He's now placed more than 25 orders on Amazon, goes on his Instagram feed, sees a quinoa pasta, clicks on the ad, buys the quinoa pasta and calls the customer service team and says, hey, it's taken 3 days. I'm in Bombay, you're in Bombay. Why is the pasta taking so long, right? So behavior has fundamentally changed. The second thing is, you know, people believe in the opportunity as well, right? Whether it's angels, funds, investors, large MNCs trying to acquire brands, the Thrasios of India, like your options as a D2C founder are a lot as well from a capital raise standpoint. And third, the customer is genuinely trading up, right? So if you ask me 4 years ago, do you believe there would be more than 500 D2C personal care brands? I said, there's no market for personal care in India. But now when you see the stories of Nykaa and Mamaearth and Wow and M-Caffeine, I'm like shocked, right? A customer in a tier three Indian city knows what hyaluronic acid is today. 5 years ago, they didn't even, like, it would just not have existed, right? So the time is now, consumption is happening, customers are trading up, and there need to be more brands created.
Interesting. So, I mean, you've gone from investing to founder to back to investing now. So World Invest, what's happening there?
So, I think when I exited in March, right, I had no clue what I was going to do. And so my wife and I just said, like, hey, we've had a lot of learnings with Dr. Vaidya's. There would be value in putting this all together. Right. And so we spent a month and a half literally writing a playbook from all our successes and failures with Dr. Vaidya's. And we said, okay, let's start teaching it as a cohort-based course and start doing that. Now we teach it on a platform called Growth School. Then we started mentoring, advising a bunch of D2C founders, helping them with things. Really enjoyed that. Started investing actively on the angel side. And then realized that, look, our job as founders building Dr. Vaidya's is done. But given our experience and given the good fortune that we had on an exit, now, can we enable the next 100 founders, right, in the consumer space, not just D2C? D2C, e-commerce, enablers to D2C, consumer internet, like, can we be those catalysts? And we really enjoyed that part. And so, when World Invest reached out to me and the opportunity came, I think it was like just a perfect meeting of minds in terms of purpose, right? So the purpose was, can we enable the next generation of founders? Can we add real value? And World Invest, as some of you know, is one of the largest growth equity funds in consumer brands, a single LP evergreen structure, so very patient capital. Been very successful in India, invested in brands like Sula, Viba, Epigamia, Purple, Wakefit, Byju's, and now Heads Up for Tails. But on the growth equity side, right? So sort of 15 million to 100 million type tickets. And so when I heard you wanted to get into ventures and they wanted a founder or founders, and it's not just the India strategy, it's a global strategy. We launched a similar strategy in Europe and the US. Wanted a founder to front end and lead the strategy and a founder who's built and sold a consumer brand. It just seemed like a great meeting of minds, right? And the freedom and the flexibility and the ability to add value just worked out. And so, yeah, I never thought I'd be back to being a professional full-time investor, but you know how life is. And so in August, I started leading a new strategy for World Invest to invest in sort of Series A opportunities in the consumer landscape. And it's been exciting.
No, that's awesome. Wishing you all the best in this new role as you sort of build out their early stage practice in India. And I think I missed one key important question, which just popped in my head. I'm sure the listeners are also pretty excited to answer, I mean, hear your answer on this. And I know you share, you and your wife both share interesting tidbits on LinkedIn as well from time to time. But tell us what was going through your mind or that phase when you were exiting that company. Like, what was the thought process like? Why did you decide to sell versus continue to building this out? What was the thought process then?
Look, I think, Utsav, I've answered this question multiple times on multiple forums, right? And I think the answer remains the same. The answer is nobody but the founder can take that decision, because nobody but the founder or founders knows when the time for them is right. Was the time right for Utsav? Had Utsav been running Dr. Vaidya's? Maybe yes, maybe no. But for Trisha and I, to be honest, we thought it was great value for the company we had built. We thought they were the right partners to take it forward to the next leg of the journey. And so we sat down and we said, is this the right decision? And for us, it seemed like the right decision. But had Utsav been in my place, he may not have taken that decision. Right? And that's the thing with an exit. Only the founders know whether it's the right time. Extremely. And nobody else. Like, yeah. I've had so many friends say, hey, amazing decision. You did it at exactly the right time. And other friends say, hey, man, there's so much value left on the table with Dr. Vaidya's. Terrible decision on your end. And to be honest, we were happy with the decision we made. We made peace with it. And that's that. But nobody but the founders will know where the timing is.
No, I think it's an extremely personal decision. So I think I totally agree with your response there. So, I mean, to close this out, I mean, what are the interesting things that you're seeing in the D2C space, or like what are the trends or crystal ball glazing for 22 and beyond?
So, look, I'm not a crystal ball gazer, to be honest. But if I was to do, let's say, a 1 year crystal ball gaze at least, because I think 5 years only, I mean, if you ask me 5 years ago, would I be sitting in a happy conversation with you? There's no way that either of us would have known we'd be doing this, right? But 1 year in, you know, what I see itself is a lot more brands being created as customers are trading up, number one. Mm-hmm. Number two, brands will get built, but also brands will get consolidated or die out as well, right? As increasing competition exists in the ecosystem. And so it's not all hunky-dory and happy. And so you have to be sort of much more mindful when you choose your niche now than when I started, right? Because at that time, it was an open level playing field. The third one is that customers will value brand and not just price, right? And we're seeing that play out. Performance marketing-led brands may not scale as fast as they did in 2017, 2018, and 2019. And the last thing which I'm really bullish about, the fourth one, is enablement to e-commerce will become a much larger thesis area as we go forward.
Interesting. No, I think this has been insightful, Arjun. I'm sure our listeners will enjoy this. And where do they find you? Best way to reach you is Twitter or LinkedIn?
Best way to reach me is LinkedIn, Instagram. Yeah, I'm not so active on Twitter.
Okay, awesome. We'll flag that. Perfect. Thanks, Arjun. Have a good one.
Thank you so much, Utsav, for having me. It's been a pleasure.